Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Fringe of It.
Episode number 20, a weekly podcast by me, Liv Purvis,
and me, Charlotte Jacqueline. So how are you doing, Liv? We're not together in real life. We said we were going to be, but we're not. Summer's busy.
It's been really busy, and you're in the garden, and I'm in the bedroom with the windows open, so apologies for any wind, cars, or nature. This will be the last time we are not together, I promise.
I actually think this is peak podcasting. I don't think I'm going to get better than this. I'm sat on my favourite picnic blanket with a glass of rosé. Jack's doing bedtime and the sun's shining down on me.
I mean, this sounds pretty heavenly. I'm going away tomorrow, so I am surrounded by... Do you know what? I'm not surrounded by too much stuff because I've nearly packed, which is a miracle because I normally leave it to about an hour before I need to leave the house.
I think you fall into two camps, don't you? I'm the same as you. I just hate packing for a holiday. But there's those other people that have it all laid out in another room.
Yeah. See, I've just been really like, normally I do it right before I go to bed. So then I've used everything I need to pack.
Yeah, that's tricky because that's what I like to do because of the toiletries.
Yeah, exactly. But today I was like, because we've got to get up at 3, it's a real, real early one. So I was like, do you know what, Liv? Pack now. And then you can really, you know, have your dinner, have a bath, get into bed. Love Island's not on tonight.
Why
you don't
not?
Need to be up to... It's never on a Saturday, which is quite nice. It means I get an early night once a week. I say early, like 10 o'clock's late.
10 o'clock's really late. First of all, tell me where you're going and then tell me about your lost suitcase happenings.
Oh my goodness. So I'm going to Mykonos, which we booked in the end, which I'm so excited. I feel like it's a very trendy place this year.
Mykonos is trendy. Isn't Paris Hilton where you are?
Well, that's it. She was at our hotel this week. So I can only hope that the singer of The Stars Are Blind is going to be in my presence because that is tune of the year every year. You look like you've never heard it, so I will play it to you afterwards.
Yeah, my face. I was like, how long can I pretend like I know what she's talking about? What, does Paris Hilton have a song?
Yeah, it's her song.
When did she release this? Was it an actual release?
I mean, it must have come out in about 2004, if that.
Where was I? Drunk, probably.
Probably in a cool indie bar, not listening to Paris Hilton.
I probably was. I mean, I wasn't the coolest person in the indie bar, but I was definitely in a cool indie bar trying to be cool.
So like this week, Haim have been there, Miles Kane's been there. It's all been going on.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. I'm looking forward to lots of tzatziki, the sea.
Number one priority, tzatziki.
Not from Sainsbury's. I just can't wait to switch off. I've packed 4 books, which I think is probably a little bit over ambitious.
Isn't that near almost a book a day?
It is a book a day.
I think as a friend, unpack one, maybe two.
Oh, I don't know, but they're also. I've got a book of poetry. I've got a career book. I've got a novel, and I've also got another book.
I thought you said a book on Korea. I just read you said you meant Korea's book. I was like, wow, a book of poetry and then a book about Korea. That's, I don't know if you're going to be switching off.
Yeah, that's heavy going. But yeah, and I've got quite a variety. But yeah, I've packed, but our suitcases went missing. We were in Corsica last week for work, which I think I filled you in on. And basically, on the way back, our cases got lost, which...
Both of them?
Both of our cases. And it's happened before, and we kind of knew it was going to happen because we had a transfer flight, which I think with that, you're always playing with fire. We had a 2-hour gap initially with our transfer, but the flight was delayed by 2 hours, meaning we had to get off one flight and run to the next. And then someone at border control gave us a bit of a hard time. They were just like, you should have got here earlier. And we were like, but our flight was delayed. So our cases didn't make it. And then we went straight to Leeds for Joe's sister's graduation. And we basically got home, had to unpack everything and repack everything again. So yeah, cases. Just been a week of cases and packing. But it's been lovely.
I can't think of anything worse. You pack your good stuff for holiday, don't you? Like all your like precious nice things.
All my nice things. So I had all my good makeup, my straighteners, skincare.
What did you turn up to Joe's sister's graduation looking like?
God, I really scraped the barrel. I mean, I did go to Sports Direct. The thing is, hear me out. Our England shirts were in the case.
Okay, fine. Sorry, I don't know where I thought you were going.
We ran in Sports Direct about an hour before the England match started on Wednesday. And I bought a top that said Vindaloo on it because I was just like, I can't watch the game without any merch.
Oh, Mike, I love that you packed your merch to take on holiday, your football merch.
I know. I think it's because the first England game was on last Saturday and we were like, we can't be anywhere without our England tops. And then we won. And then I'm calling that's why we lost this game, because our England tops were AWOL.
Fine. Fair enough.
Yeah. But what have you been up to this week? I feel like I've started and I've not even finished talking about what I've been up to.
Well, it's the band. Have you got anything else to say?
Only one more thing, and that was I went to a gorgeous hotel, which I'm going to shout about because it was so nice. It was in the Cotswolds, and it was called The Rectory.
That looked nice.
It was beautiful. I didn't really do any Insta stories, which I think is quite unlike me. But do you know when you've had, like, towards the end of this week, it's been a bit of a tricky old week. And I feel like when you've got, like, private stuff going on, which isn't so good, you don't want to always be like, oh, it's all singing or dancing, because I feel like that's not very accurate. But all of that aside, I will be doing a blog post, etc., but it was such a gorgeous hotel. Like, I love an English country hotel.
And yeah, it was very Cotswolds.
Oh, it was gorgeous. It was all, I think it's been there for years. I think it used to be a boys' school. I think it was an orphanage and then a boys' school. And then it was an old country hotel for years. And I think they reopened it last year. And it's got a pool, if the weather's good, and it's just got all these beautiful gardens. Like, it is just so gorgeous.
Like the perfect English countryside hotel.
100%. And I think it's quite reasonable as well. And it was just so beautifully designed, and they had freestanding baths. It's a bit of you. It's a real bit of you. But if you are after somewhere lovely to stay in the UK, I can definitely recommend checking it out.
I'm going to find something to do with June and book it ASAP. What have I been doing? I actually have to write my notes now after that week where we were like, what have we done this week?
I know, I have to have notes every week now.
So my notes say, busy week. And at the end of my notes, they say, now never want to leave my house ever again. which is why I went, no, and it's not the only reason why we're not recording in real life, but I went on a nature I went on a retreat called the Nature Sessions, and my lovely friend Han, who I mentioned in a couple of weeks previous podcast recording, that was round about the house's way of explaining it, wasn't it?
There's a lot of words there, Charlotte.
I should have put the rosé down. And so she set up a retreat called the Nature Sessions at this place called Elmley in Kent on this little island called Sheppey, and it was beautiful, and I was kind of not sure about going because it was just quite a lot of time to spend on myself. It was 2 nights and 3 days, and she'd invited me as a guest, but I paid for an upgrade to a cabin because I'm a princess. And when I got there, the nature was so loud I nearly wanted to leave because I was like, what? But the first thing we did was go on a nature drive, and ooh, the owner of Elmley.
Safari.
Yeah, it was amazing. So Elmley itself is a nature reserve, and I think it's the only residential one in the UK. And he like made us stop and look at the grass and the bugs and listen to the birds. And it was just like you just immerse yourself in nature straight away and you just realize how little we are actually around nature and take the time to stop and listen and just be. And it was incredible. And then there was 2 days of activities. There was enough kind of like downtime, enough stuff going on. But it was a group of about 13 women from all over the country for all different reasons that they decided to come and come to the retreat. But we did candle making, we did wreath making, we did, what was the other thing that we did? Oh, screen printing. I got a bit cross during that session. I got a bit stroppy teenager.
Why?
Because it reminded me of art class at, I just kind of went straight back. What I produced was wonderful, but I hated my art teacher. Because I wanted to do fashion, but back in the day, the only route to do anything fashion related was to do art. But I'm really bad at art. I mean, I know you can't, you know, art's subjective, but like I'm properly bad at drawing and painting and I hated
it. Really?
Yeah. Like,
that surprises me.
Terrible. Like I'm creative, but that's the thing is I'm creative, but I'm not.
Not with your hands.
Yeah, absolutely not. And anyway, so I got a bit cross, but it was fine. And then I had a massage and we were catered for every night and it was all vegan food. And again, I wasn't closed-minded. I was just not overly excited about the food part. But there was a really great chef called Soph Gordon.
I know.
Oh, yes. Did you go to school together? No. How do you know each other?
My best friend went to school with her.
Yes, I had this conversation with her. What a small world. And she did all the food and it was excellent. I'm really opened my mind up to vegan cooking because I've had a bit of vegan food and everything I've had has been lovely apart from some sweet potato brownies I attempted to make once and it cost me about 40 quid for the ingredients. But yeah, it was really lovely and I came back really relaxed and it felt really self-indulgent but really, really nice. And then we went to Margate for a day to do a shoot and it was just so much travelling with a couple of projectile vomits from June on the way. So I'm just glad to be home and we just made a pact. We've cancelled like all of our plans. Not all, we didn't have loads, but we're just not doing anything other than one family holiday in August. But we just want to stay in the house, decorate, unpack and just make some nice summer memories in our new house.
That's lovely. I feel like I'm looking, like, although I'm so looking forward to my holiday and switching off, I think sometimes getting back and having a few weeks of routine is just like, oh, it feels exciting.
Oh, routine is so exciting. And do you know what else is exciting? Today we tidied and I tidied the kitchen cupboards.
I cleaned the fridge out yesterday.
Oh, did you? What did you find? What was the weirdest thing you found in your fridge, the grossest thing?
To be honest, there wasn't a lot. There was a few berries that I think I'd neglected and they'd gone a tiny bit furry.
There was no jars with films of mould on.
No, I'm quite good at, I tend to clear out the fridge every, few weeks.
Okay.
Just have a proper look and just check.
Tight ship.
Yeah, it's a military operation, my fridge.
Fair enough. We've actually got a smaller fridge since we moved in this house and actually it's better. I was like, oh, the fridge is a bit small, but you just don't put as much stuff in there so you don't forget about it.
Yeah, that's the problem. You actually just, you load it up. I think we're trying to be less wasteful with fruit and veg as well. I think because we've not had a lot of routine, we've not done a proper food shop, so we've not ever had a full fridge, so it's been a lot less waste because we've been kind of just buying things as and when we need them, which can be a bit more expensive, but
yeah, I'm with you. I had a conversation about this actually. One of the things we did on the retreat was look at how we spend our day. So we had to write down every single hour of our day and what we do. I'm only laughing because a lot of the stuff that I wrote was tidy/dick around. Because I know there's times in my day where I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, I could be being more productive. But basically, we were all kind of like talking, like, as like we all did different things, and then we're just like, and I said I really crave routine, but the problem is a lot of food waste. And something I'm so eager to cut down. And somebody gave me a great suggestion because on a Sunday I plan my week, but actually I don't plan it with Jack. And then plan like what meals we're going to have, like who's going to be in the house when. So we're going to start like a family meeting on a Sunday.
Yeah, well, the thing is, when Joe and I first moved in, we did that. We had this like weekly meal plan on our boiler that's magnetic. And every Sunday or whatever day it was, we'd sit down with a couple of recipe books. And because we were both in pretty much every day in the evening, we'd write down what we both wanted, when we'd eat, when, what days we could cook things, when things would start like if we were ordering, say, chicken and, I don't know, eggs or whatever, we'd work out when things were going off by and then when what order we'd have things in. And it was just, it was the most organized I've ever been, things like that. But I loved it, and it made we were cooking more, we were spending lots of time together in the kitchen, and it's so nice. Highly recommend doing that.
Yeah, well, I've actually, after the kitchen tidy earlier, put a couple of recipe books on the buffet for some evening reading later on, so I can think of some new ideas for recipes.
Oh, I love.
We are actually 85, aren't we?
I know. I thought that earlier this week. I was like, I can't believe how boring I am sometimes.
Adulting is hard.
I love it. I just feel like last weekend I was at this festival for work, and it was lovely, but it was a lot of people partying on a beach in bikinis, and I just thought
I literally couldn't think of anything worse.
And it was lovely, but I feel like I was a bit like, I was out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, it's bedtime for Nana Liv.
It was bedtime for
Have
Nana
you got
Liv.
Sunscreen on there, love?
I know. Joe literally was sitting up on his deck chair, like, not a deck chair.
He wishes he was on a deck chair.
He wishes. Right, let's move on to telly chat.
I've not got my timer ready, just for Love Island Minute. I actually look forward to it, to be honest.
Oh, wow, thanks.
It's ready. Do you want to do your Love Island Minute first?
I'll do my Love Island Minute first, only because I've not watched anything else other than that and the football. But I feel like as of next week, because there will be no more football, I'm going to start making an effort to watch more.
That would be great, since our podcast does feature TV. But it's all right. You've got your Love Island Minute, which I think is going strong. Minute. Yeah. So here's Liv's Love Island Minute.
Thanks for the intro, Charlotte. Very exciting. So this week has been a great week on Love Island. We had two new boys, which have come and gone. They came and they went very quickly. And there was a new girl as well, who I was really hoping would pair up with Alex, Dr. Alex, which she did, not to disappoint.
Didn't they have a snog? Sorry, I'm not allowed to talk. Carry on.
They did have a snog. It was a little bit awkward, but it was wonderful. I'm so happy that it's finally worked out. The two new guys didn't really love either of them, and they did a strip. There was a strip challengey thing, and they were just supposed to fire them. And I was screaming the whole way through, because it was unbelievable. But Josh did amazingly. Still loving Georgia being the most loyal person ever, part of the loyal family, which I've been enjoying seeing all the Twitter memes. Oh, also, when we went out of the World Cup, I also got my most ever retweeted thing using a Love Island meme. So that was exciting, if not unrelated.
I mean, that would have gone right over my head. Your minute's up, but...
Oh, no. Okay, I've got one more thing to say, and that is that I'm just... hoping that Laura and Jack stay strong, and I don't know, I feel a bit unsure about him sometimes, but I feel like, you know, I just really want them to work out, and she deserves happiness. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, I have a few questions. What's happening with Danny Dyer?
He's still not come in yet, but I feel like that's going to probably be this week if there's a parent challenge. They did a Twitter challenge yesterday, which I always think is hilarious, because they basically share popular, like, public opinion of the people in there, and they have to fill in the blanks. So it would be like, I wish blank would stop being so blank, and they have to guess who the person is.
And what the thing is.
And what the thing is, for example. Like, for example, I wish, I don't know, Megan would stop being so rude. Okay. And they will have to say that, for example.
One more question. Why is Georgia so loyal? Because I've seen this all over the internet. Like, I mean, not that it's a bad thing, but I just want to know, like, what's happening there.
It's weird, because she's not actually technically by the dictionary loyal. She always mentions it to everyone, how loyal she is.
But oh, right, okay. So is it like...
It's like an ironic thing. Like, right. She does it, and then she'll go and chat to your boyfriend or go on a date with him. But she's very like, I'm just really loyal. But I think she says it so she can kind of... Oh, it's like damage control.
Right, okay. I see. They're all my Love Island questions. Just, you know.
Okay, well, thank you for this week's Love Island questions as well. What have you been watching that isn't Love Island?
Okay, so the football. But to be honest...
Heartbreaking.
That's my career as a sports
pundit.
Watcher. Yeah, it was too much for me.
Watching the Gareth Southgate video that's circulating online of him coming out after the game, about 70 minutes after the game, and all the crowd's still singing the Hole Again version, and I keep listening to it and keep tearing up. I'm pathetic.
I don't want to throw any controversy in, but I've seen a few things online this week that have made me think. And one of them was how, you know, there was quite a lot of people saying, oh, it's 30 years since we have been in a semi-final. And then the women's England football team were like, hang on, guys, we were in the semi-final for, like, I really should have got some dates on that. But, you know, we were in the final semi-final very recently of the Women's World Cup. And then there was the whole, like, Twitter spat, you can call it, about some guys saying, well, you know, the women's game just isn't as good as the men's game, so obviously it doesn't get as much coverage. And I just thought it was really interesting because it was kind of catch 22. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, if women were brought up to think that they had a equal opportunity in football, you know, they would potentially play more. Like when I was at school, I just ran past the goal and hoped not to, you know, if you're going from one science lesson to an English lesson, you just run across the football pitch because it was the quickest way and hope that one of the boys didn't kick the football at your head.
You know, oh my God, yeah.
It wasn't, and I've had a football in my head, it really hurts. So it wasn't somewhere where I thought that was a place for me. So I just thought it was really interesting because it's like, you know, if you don't encourage girls to play sport, especially football, they're never going to get to a certain standard that they then can be scouted, to be trained, to join clubs. And Jack said something really interesting, and he said, Man U, as I like to call them, are having a women's team for the first time ever. And apparently now, this is apparently, I should have done some research before I launched into this, it is now the law for clubs to have women's teams as well. So I just thought it was really interesting, this whole thread on Twitter. I mean, obviously the people that were saying this were small-minded idiots because they were just like, well, the women just can't play as well. But it was just like looking at like the social historical context of, you know, potentially why the women's game isn't
as celebrated or as watched or as,
you know, obviously football's a massive money-making industry, but you know, there was just a lot of interesting things that I saw this week. And then one of my other friends who is gay, he was saying just what a homophobic kind of industry it was. And I kind of like jumped to its defence instantly. But then it was like some of the stuff he was saying was making me feel really uncomfortable. And I was like, actually, is he speaking the truth that the fans... the way he was saying it, the fans as a whole, you know, because how few homosexual football players there are. And I just thought it was interesting. There's just a few things this week that just brought, you know, all this chat about football. And it was just some interesting conversations that I have been a part of. So just thought I'd throw my 10 pen at Finn.
Yeah, no, it's true. I feel like that it's so true. I feel like there's so many positives. And I feel like this World Cup has definitely brought out the positives in like terms of the community side of things and bringing together. I mean, I've seen so many tweets saying that, like, you know, it really united a nation when it needed it, and it's like a whole, you know, a whole team of really diverse, you know, working class men who are just, do you know what I mean, like it's a really good example of that. And then, but then sometimes there is the other side of it, which are those things, and sometimes you see fans that it sometimes makes you a bit like, oh, that's the only side of it that I think I wish I wasn't associated with. It like, because it does let the side down a little bit, and you feel a bit like, oh no, I don't want to be part of that like hooligan culture. And the people that are a bit like that and a bit kind of like extreme in their views and just very much like, I don't know, the same people that are very Britain first, which also, I don't know, maybe I'm getting a bit political, but that kind of,
no, but that was what kind of what one of my friends was saying with the whole kind of like sexuality in sport. It was just interesting, like some of the stuff that he said just made me feel quite uncomfortable. And I was like, well, actually, it's probably because it's challenging my views and opening me up to some things that I hadn't necessarily considered before. But one of the more positive things to come out of the World Cup was, I thought there's been a lot of talk about positive mental attitude and the power of positivity, and the way that Gareth Southgate, well, you manage them, don't you? That's
coach.
What he does. Coach, yeah. And I thought that was brilliant. You know that I'm pretty obsessed with the power of the mind. So I'm hoping that there's going to be a few more articles about that. I might even write one myself.
Yeah, I did retweet something actually about, I think it was a tweet by Roman Kemp, and it was him talking about football actually having come home, in the sense that, you know, at the beginning of the World Cup, he hadn't seen a single flag. There was no positivity towards the team. There was no faith. And then by the end of it, you know, everyone is can't get over it and is so excited. And it's like, you know, it's the kind of thing we will look back on and we'll remember this summer, like we did with the, you know, Olympics in 2012. It's that kind of,
it's sorry. That. I just feel like I forgot the Olympics in 2012. I've just got,
you know what I mean? It's that kind of time where you look back and you think, oh my God, remember when we were all singing, like everyone on the street was singing like Three Lions, and you do look back and it kind of, I feel like it will be like that, hopefully. And it, this is summer, you kind of think, oh, that was when we all like rediscovered football a bit. And this is, you know, this summer I really wanted to wear an England shirt for the first time. And there were, you know, there were like past World Cup teams I've never really wanted to get an England shirt because I've been a bit like, nah. Whereas, you know, going to Sports Direct, every single thing is sold out because I know football now.
I love that the only option left was a Vindaloo t-shirt.
And it was a Sports Direct own one. It said it on the back and I was like, wow, Liv, this is it. You've made sartorial prowess.
When I saw it on my Instagram feed, I kind of scrolled past and then scrolled back and I was like, hang on, what did I just say? I realised it was yours and I was like, wow.
You were like, and I do a podcast with this person.
Not for much longer. No, I'm joking. Here I am. What else have I been watching this week? So I have finally watched Glow season 2.
How was it?
Oh, it was sensational. Sensational. What can I say about Glow season 2? It's really hard to talk about it without giving anything away. Firstly, I didn't know how it could get better than season 1. For anybody that's not watched it, Glow stands for the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which was a real show in the 80s. And it might sound massively sexist. There's parts that are, but it's really empowering. These characters. Again, me and Jack were talking about this because we were talking about Orange is the New Black and how perfect the first two series of that were. And then I could never kind of follow it after that. But the difference that we decided was is that every single character on Glow is likable.
Right.
They've got something redeeming about them. And what was great about this series was they did a backstory for each character. So you kind of got to understand where they were coming from even more. But how can I talk about this? I'm not very good at talking about things without letting things slip. So there was a topic that was covered. And again, I had a debate in my inbox as always. But there was a topic that was covered, which is so relevant to 2018. I think I will just say the Me Too movement.
Right. Okay.
I don't want to say too much, but it was just probably the first that I know, the first TV series that's actually made a comment on it, and they commented on it so well. There's a speech between the two main characters, and there's a situation that happens to one of the main characters, and you just see how easily these situations presented themselves in a really corrupt industry, and it made me feel so uncomfortable. Like I was watching it and I was just like grabbing Jack's hand, like hiding my face. It was really, really powerful. And all I can say is Mark Maron, the wrestling coach, I've fallen for him even harder.
Oh, do you know, I'm going to download something on Netflix actually to watch so I can get up to date for next week, because I've got a 3-hour flight. So I feel like this is the time.
And also they're only like the episodes are a good like solid 30 minutes. They're not too long. Ooh. So we watched them. We watched it in 24 hours with a 1-year-old.
There is no excuse.
Yeah, there is no excuses yet. But bless June, we were kind of like kept playing with her, but like watching the TV. And then eventually sent her to bed so we could watch some more.
Sent her to bed, summoned her off.
Yeah, please, please go. Mummy and Daddy would like to watch TV. And one more other thing that I would like to say about Glow is a congratulations to Shinola, who made the titles for Glow. They have been nominated for an Emmy, I do believe. And loosely connected, Jack knows them through work, but they've come so far in such a short space of time. And if you watch the titles to Glow, they're pretty fluorescent, fantastic. So congratulations to them.
Oh!
Shall we move on to shopping?
Let's do it.
Everything I've bought this week is your fault.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So first thing I bought, Liv sent me a link to a t-shirt. And before I even said thanks for the link, I purchased it.
I bought it as well afterwards.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think we should start an experiment. Like when we started our friendship and then, I don't know, in 10 years' time, how much of our wardrobe is the same?
Yeah, I think there's going to be quite a crossover.
It was a really great t-shirt. So sorry, I didn't even ask if I could buy it. If you mind.
Why would you have to ask?
Well, you know, so when you were younger, that was always a weird thing, wasn't it? It was like, well, that's mine. I saw it first.
You'd be like, ooh.
But it's what is it, like a buttery cream?
Yeah, like a buttery colour, and it's like a botanical floral kind of, like, almost vintage style
flower chart. Yeah, it says blooms on the top, and then it's got 9 different flowers with really lovely illustrations with their name underneath, and it's £26 from Urban Outfitters.
Spot on.
100% cotton.
Dreamy.
What more could you want? And then the other thing that I bought is something you own as well.
What is it? What is it, Charlotte?
I just want to be Liv. It's your MIH dress.
Oh, so good though.
I've been thinking about it and I haven't stopped thinking about it. So the first time I saw it was at your birthday. So how many weeks ago was that? 3? 4?
Three to four.
It's been playing on my mind. So just to paint a picture of the dress, it's round neck, no sleeved, midi smock dress. And I think, yeah, the base is navy, and then it's kind of just got like quite graphic 60s flowers, kind of 60s, yeah. 70s. But I mean, quite frankly, if we're going to have summers like this, I've not got enough dresses.
I know, it's so gorgeous. When I saw it, I was like, right.
So I've missed the delivery twice, so she's coming on Monday.
And you have to be there or else.
And then just an update on the hot tub.
Oh,
the purchase. Remember, I told you that I'd bought it for Jack's
birthday. Yeah, I was a bit surprised then. And then I was just like, oh my God, I remember this.
Yeah, so the hot tub, in the end, we decided to buy it from Tesco because we thought of all the club card points we could get for that. Very exciting. And also, I went through my purse and got loads of old Tesco receipts and took at least 10 to get my points. I'm such a loser. And Jack has assembled that and he's put the chlorine in it and we can go in it tomorrow.
Oh my God, so is it like a proper hot tub?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, there she goes. You can't see her.
Oh my God. So when we stayed at this Airbnb this week for Molly's graduation, this Airbnb we stayed at had a hot tub in, and oh my God, it was joyous.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited about that. I mean, it is inflatable, as I've already said, but yeah, you have to put chlorine in and test its pH balance and all kinds of stuff.
Oh my God, next time I come up, I'm 100% getting in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you, we can record the podcast from the hot tub. Maybe not have the bubbles on.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
Would that be a bit seedy?
Maybe if we were both naked.
Sorry, I don't know where I went there. That's not what I meant.
No, we're just friends in water.
What have you been buying?
I found a pair of brilliant denim shorts, as I'm sure everyone will be thrilled to know.
Did you tell us about these last week?
Yeah, the denim short mission was well and truly on its, you know, on its way. It was well in the depths of a mission. And I found some really gorgeous shorts in Another Stories.
Oh, these aren't the Levi's ones, sorry.
Yeah, oh no, they're really good though. I did like those, but this is another pair I did buy.
Sorry, I didn't want to say we've done this, but you were talking about a different pair.
Yeah, no, I was talking about, this is a new pair. So these ones are high-waisted. They've got a tie waist as well, which I always really like. And they're slightly more A-line. They've got a turn up so that you can make them quite long or you can just turn them up, and they're just perfect. I got my normal jean size, so I didn't have to think about sizing up, sizing down, or worrying about that. And they're just such a nice fit. They're denim, always, always, always a spot on. So I got that this week. Also bought a book for holiday that I've read so many good things about. And it's called This Is Going to Hurt.
Ooh.
And it is, I think I have it right here. But as far as I've got it right here. It is, hang on, how can I summarize this? It's basically like a diary by a junior doctor, and it's basically diary entries from his career, and apparently it's heartbreaking, it's funny, but it talks about his time at the NHS frontline, and it's just meant to be amazing. And I've heard endless great things, and I'm really looking forward to reading it.
And Zoe Ball recommends it. I've just seen the sticker on the front.
And if Zoe Ball recommends it, then I don't need anyone else to talk to me about it.
What's kind of in the same vein as shopping, but not, what's your favourite thing you've packed for holiday? What can you not wait to wear?
Do you know what? I went into, here's something exciting. I went into Cezanne this week because they are...
Oh, is it open now?
Well, no, they're opening in September.
And they let you in?
They let me in for a little peek, and the store is looking so gorgeous.
Where is it?
It's Westbourne Grove.
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't want to talk. I just don't. I'm not always West.
Yeah, no.
That's okay. It's better than going to Paris.
It's worth it. But I bought a couple of dresses. One is one that I'm wearing, which is a little mini dress. These are all available on their website, by the way. They do sell out really, really quickly.
That dress that you've got on is gorgeous.
It's like a little, it's a long mini dress. So it's definitely above the knee. But it kind of reminds you of the Kate Moss Topshop dresses.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of floral tea dress. So I'm really excited to wear this. I also bought one, which is like rainbow stripe, kind of midi dress with like spaghetti straps and almost like a top tier. Do you know, it covers your boobs, what's it called? You know.
Oh, why don't you mean like a
bandeau-y tier over the top. No.
Oh. We should be fashion commentators.
I know. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to wearing that. Going for stripes with an ice cream and grease. So I really love that. Also, one more thing I wanted to mention this week is that my friend Lucy Williams launched her swimwear collection, which is really lovely. It's a collaboration with Love Stories.
I love Love Stories.
Oh, it's really lovely.
What kind of bits are there?
So there's a bandeau bikini, there's a swimming costume, which is really lovely, and there's a really cool silk scarf, which has got like travel illustrations on it.
Oh, I love scarfs like that. I've got vintage ones. Like
So it's inspired by a vintage one. And I also, when I was in Love Stories on Hanbury Street in East London, I had a little whiff of their fragrance, which I'd never smelt before. And it's called April Morning, and it is so nice.
What a nice name.
It was so gorgeous, and I didn't expect to love it as much as I did. And yeah, just didn't know they did fragrances. But yeah, that's a gorgeous collection, gorgeous perfume. And yeah, really happy with that. And that is it. I'm going to pull my reins in now because I feel like we've been waffling for a sweet while.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's move on to this week's topic, which is all about money.
Money, money, money. Must be funny.
In a rich man's world. Thanks for leaving me there.
That's all right.
I mean, we could have split this up. We could have done a whole podcast season on money.
I feel like we should have done it on an episode where we've waffled less.
Yes, this is going to be quite the beefy episode.
Oof, beef.
But I feel like I can't stop talking about money. And when I say money, just talking about it as a normal thing with my friends, I just feel like money is such a taboo subject. And recently, I've just decided I've had enough.
Mm. I saw your Twitter thread, actually, and I was like...
That was a beefy thread, wasn't it?
It was such a beefy thread. So needed, though.
Yeah, well, to give a bit of context to what I'm talking about, so my Twitter thread, I had an inbox full of people that wanted to work with me, and, you know, when I went back and said, oh, have you got any budget for this, or, you know, can you just let me know, payment, basically, see, I'm already getting flustered, and a lot of people kind of came back to me. One person even said, oh, the dreaded word budgets. And I was like, pardon? And basically, just a lot of people not having the budget to pay me for what I do. And for the first time ever, on a form, I went for a massage at the Nature Retreat, I filled out the words blogger and podcaster as a career. Normally, I try and say freelance this or I don't know, just... But that's what I do. And, you know, what I was saying was, I feel like because it's such a female orientated industry, a lot of brands rely on the fact that women feel insecure and that money is such a taboo subject that they rely on us having those feelings that we're happy to do things for free, or, you know, for products. And I just got a bit cross. And then my other point was, how can you expect to have diversity of so many different descriptions in our industry if not everybody's getting paid? I said, I'm a middle-class white woman, and I occasionally have to borrow money from my parents, or we've borrowed money from Jack's parents before when we've had slow months or invoices haven't been paid on time. And it just, and also on the nature retreat, I sat and I spoke with somebody about our careers and where we wanted to be, and I said I want to earn loads of money, and so did she. And that was we just got on and we were just talking about money for a couple of hours, and I just thought that was really unusual. So I thought, let's talk about money this week.
And I feel like it's only when people start discussing it that the kind of walls come down, especially when you are in a freelance industry. Knowing your value is such an enormous part of it. And if no one's discussing things, and obviously it is difficult to kind of say, oh, this is what I get paid, because obviously there's so many different factors. But equally, when you start off, you don't have a clue. And then, you know, you could undercharge and be undercut. And it's actually knowing how to kind of break that down a bit and actually know where you stand. And there's just so many things that you're not prepared for.
Totally.
And we're not taught it at school.
We're not. And that was the other thing. That was the other reason. I just had a very money heavy week. I have got a new accountant and I was dreading seeing him. And when I went to see him, he explained things so well and so simply. I just felt like I literally left his office like dancing, because knowledge is power. But why aren't we given this knowledge younger? You know, I've never needed to work out the third, I don't even know what the thing is, the third corner of a triangle. I've never had to work out that angle, but I got taught that at school. But I've never, why wasn't I taught what would happen if I wanted to be self-employed? Or generally, you know, I always go on about adulting, but how to manage money, you know, budgeting, finances. You know, now that we've got a daughter, it's like even more apparent that we need all these systems in place. And we're having to like, well, now I don't really care. I'll be like, well, what do you do with your money, to my friends? And they're happy to tell me, but it's kind of taken me to be quite brave about it. Like, well, what do you do? How do you manage this? Like, what, you know, how does it work for you?
Because it's hard, because if no one ever talks about it, and then no one has any idea of how to manage it or deal with it, or knows what to charge, or knows where to put it, or knows what they should be paying for, or know what's too much or too little to be paying for things, because you don't. Like, you know, I remember when, even down to silly things, when we moved into the house, I was thinking, I don't know, is that a lot to be paying for those things? Is that not a lot? Like, I don't know.
Help. It just seems like such a strange subject. One thing I was thinking about, because obviously we're both freelance and self-employed, but I was thinking about when I was full-time in, you know, in a wage job. But I used to discuss money with people, and it was in our contracts. I mean, hopefully nobody's going to see me now. And it was in our contracts that we weren't allowed to tell other people how much we earned. And I always told people, and they always told me. But that was, I think I was in quite a unique place. But why isn't that allowed? One of the things when I worked in an office, not only that, like knowing how much other people got paid, was knowing when to ask for pay rises. And I feel like, again, it's quite a female thing to kind of not take up space and not kind of know your value and know your worth. I know somebody who was in a management position at a company, and she looked after all the accounts, and she could see kind of what everyone else got paid. And she knew that she was paid the least.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And then you're put in a position, because it's confidential, that you can never bring it up, because you can't use that information to your advantage. But you're like, I know I'm working as hard as these people, but I can't ever ask for more, because my hands are tied.
Yeah, absolutely. That, you know, there may be some people who say, oh, well, you know, there's a reason for that. But I think most of the reason, you know, there's a good reason for that, but most of the reasons are quite negative, and it's to keep people in their place. A really great example of somebody that talks about money, but she talks about how vulnerable she feels, she calls it a vulnerability hangover, is Sarah Tasker from Me and Orla.
I was gonna say, I feel like she's someone I really admire. Sorry, I've totally interrupted
no,
you.
No, but that's funny, because everyone I speak to who, you know, wants to be successful and wants to be rich, and wanting to be rich is, I feel like, such a dirty label, as in, wow, that's really crass.
It feels gluttonous and crass, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but it's the freedom. Like, I know people that will say, you know, I don't want to be rich. I want to do good. But think of, like, all the people that are in charge. A lot of them are male. What happens if the women were given the wealth and they were in power? Like, what would happen to the world then? It's just really interesting. But, sorry, going back to my point, but when people say Sarah Tasker's name, so many people go, oh my God, I want to be her. And to give you a bit of context, Sarah is came out and she said a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago, she earned £100,000. And last year, she earned nearly £250,000. She used to work for the NHS and she has a business called Me and Aula. She's a coach and Instagram expert. But she came out and said that she earned that. And overall, the response, I would say, was 90% positive. But 10% really kind of took umbrage to what she was saying. They were like, I think it's really vulgar what you're saying. You know, you project one image on social media, but actually, you know, you're really wanting to earn money and take our money. And she said, I'm really sorry that you see it like that. But the other 95% of us were like, that's amazing, because it made us see that we could potentially earn that kind of money.
And I think it puts a new spin on what wealth actually is, because I feel like, you know, she projects an image where, you know, she has a lovely house in the countryside, like she's not living in a huge mansion and driving like a 4x4 and all the things you associate by term with the word wealth. You know, the typical kind of the Wolf of Wall Street image that's like jewellery, expensive bags, luxury. And it's kind of putting that on its head and saying, actually, you can have a lot of money, have options, and just have a really comfortable, happy, modest life. You don't have to be showy.
Absolutely. So I had business coaching last year by a wonderful woman called Ray Dodd, and she's doing actually a money course at the moment. And but when I did coaching with her, I'm hoping I'm allowed to say this, she said to me, what does a rich woman look like to you? And I said, and I couldn't believe it, I was like, oh, a rich Hollywood Californian housewife. And she was like, oh my God, like, why do you think that? And she's like, what about that? Because obviously the stories that you tell yourself, but that woman is supported by a husband. That's what, in my head, a rich woman looks like. Someone, yeah. And then she, obviously we've done so much work to unpick that. But it was just so interesting that, to me, the stereotypical rich woman that's in my head, is she didn't earn it. Ooh. Like what rubbish have I been growing up with?
And that's the thing, I think, is when you start unpicking those things and actually realising that that word has so many different connotations to it. And it's not just a, I don't know, there's not, it's, we're outgrowing that now. And I think there is that element of the culture that we're in that, you know, especially I think on YouTube and things, that when you have wealth, it's very much associated by like the things you post and like the luxury lifestyle you portray, or like the hauls and things like that. Whereas I feel like now people like Sarah are showing that you can have those things and you can do that, but it's making it more of a norm. And it's not that's the thing, it makes you feel uncomfortable. Like even me, like trying to word everything, I have thoughts in my head and I'm like, oh, I don't want it to sound really like overly privileged talking about wealth or wanting to be comfortable and have money. And do you know what I mean? It's one of those really kind of sensitive subjects.
But it is, like, why is it the last taboo? I feel like we could sit here talking about sex more easily than we could money.
Yeah,
it's really, really strange. So it's just one of those things, like, as I say, I feel we could do a whole series on it, but it was just starting to talk about, why is money such a taboo?
And I feel you for that, you do feel guilty as well. Like, I know that I feel like I've been asked in the past by one of my friends what I earn, and I feel like I panicked and I felt like I had to justify why I got paid what I did. And I was very quick to kind of say, oh yeah, I know, it feels like, oh God, but maybe I, do you know what I mean? Like suddenly you're kind of justifying why you're paid what you are, because you're paid well for something. You feel like, I know, I feel like I don't know why I get paid, like, oh God, like yeah. There's people that, and there are, and I think that's the thing, when you, especially when you do a creative career, like there are lots of careers I do think, oh my God, they should be getting paid more. And
and
that's attached to why I think there's guilt with other things. And but then women feel that, do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure men do too, but for example, every time I think I get paid well for a project, I think, but there's people working long hours in hospitals that don't get paid like well, and it makes you feel guilty. And I think that's totally. And that's potentially why we feel so bad about it, because you think there is so many big pay gaps. And it's closing those or discussing those. I don't know. There's just, oh, there's so much to talk about.
So much to talk about. Maybe we should start a new podcast called Money Talks. I'm sure there's already a podcast called that. But yeah, I don't know. It's a really tricky one. I do think this because there's two books that I want to recommend. I've recommended them before on the podcast, but just specifically about how I view money. But then I was thinking, if you're not in a freelance or creative career, or you're specifically in a career where it does have limitations, as in, you know, yeah, you get to a certain point. But I think that looking at those gender pay gaps is quite an interesting place, or, you know, looking at have you gone for a promotion recently, or have you asked for a pay rise recently? And I know it's a little bit more rigid in those environments. I know when I worked for a university, it was very rigid in terms of the pay scale, which is what they called it. But I'd be so interested to know what the male counterparts in that institution were getting paid versus the female counterparts.
Yeah, and I guess that's potentially why, like, I feel like because I am in a creative career, like, I've never really worked in, like, a real tiered pay system necessarily, or been on a salary. I mean, I've done, like, I feel like, I mean, that's weird. I mean, I've worked in retail, which is obviously more salary. But, I mean, that's not a salary. That's, like, monthly payments. But I've never been on a salary job. So I feel like I'm in a unique position where, you know, I started very much from nothing. Like, when I started my blog, and, like, looking back through my tax returns last year when we had to sort out our mortgage, my first tax return was next to nothing, like, was nothing. I didn't have to pay tax because it was, like, there was nothing on it. And I remember there's so many memories where I was, like, so deep into my overdraft that I was just like, that's it, this is me. But I feel like it's, I don't actually know the point I was actually making.
I feel like, but I have so many points to say on the back of everything you've just said, like, things that have sprung into my mind, like overdrafts and tax, and like, I just feel, I think the reason that I kind of wanted to talk about money a bit is because I feel at 32, this is a summer of me getting my financial house in order. And it's like, I finally feel like I have an accountant who I understand. I know what the tax man I need to pay him. I know kind of like how to budget for a household. I've still got my graduate overdraft, which is absolutely bonkers, but this year is the year that I get rid of it. But I think even, I remember when I found out that all my friends were saving, I was like, sorry, like, literally, I was put out. But I think even just having those conversations about how you can be a bit cleverer with money, and having what you do have stretch further with friends. Because when I found out everyone was saving, I was fuming. I was like, thanks, guys.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, I was in Topshop while you lot have been busy saving. But, you know, I just don't think.
No one tells you.
Yeah, 10 years ago, we just weren't, like, me and my friends just weren't talking about money.
And that's the thing, I feel like because I've always been either freelance or working on my own, I feel like I've always had to be quite financially, I've always been quite financially independent, in the sense that from the second I was 16, I wanted to get a job because I was like, that's how I can afford to treat myself to more stuff, more things in Topshop. Like, if I had a Saturday job.
Everything equated to shopping, still does.
That's the thing. And I feel like because of when I started my blog and then I started doing freelance stuff, I don't remember. I think because my dad's self-employed, that's how I knew I had to do a self-assessment tax return. But there was no other person that would have told me that had my parents both been on normal salary jobs. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure they would have been aware of it. But at that point, my mom was saying, every time you get paid, save like a certain percentage of what you're earning. And that was embedded in me, like deeply embedded, that every time I got paid, some of it I just would have to go out, otherwise you get so used to seeing the full picture and never putting any money away. But there's all these things that you just have to find out once you go, and you're like, oh god, I didn't realize that would be going. And
That's funny how you paint it as a full picture. Like, I've seen the full picture, and then now I'm working back, and I'm, because I feel like I've made so many money mistakes, but I feel like if the knowledge was given to me in the first place, or maybe we talked about it more, I could have avoided those pitfalls. And now I'm kind of like, sometimes I talk to people younger than me or kind of people in similar situations, like, I do judge situations before I go in there and be like, let's talk about money. But, you know, just talking to people, like, it's funny, actually, one of our listeners said, oh, thanks so much for talking about payments on accounts. Like, that was really helpful when you mentioned that you have to give half of next year's tax up front. But just, you know, just daft things like that. And it's just, I don't know, I just keep getting a bit cross. I can't help but think that a lot of it is because we're females and we've not been earning money for that long. Like, our mums earned money, maybe our grandmas earned money, but, you know, not that many generations. So we before us have earned money, so we don't have that many examples.
Yeah, and I feel like as well, because everyone's money situation is so different and it is so contrasting depending on the different careers you're in, I think that's what makes it another thing that's really hard to talk about, because it's so not one size fits all. And it's almost being able to discuss it in a way that is more about managing it and asking for more in a way that's still relative to everybody in some sense, which makes it so broad. And it's almost something that you need more voices in, because it's like, it's so different for everyone.
Yeah, more voices definitely helps. And then I think that's the nail on the head right there. If more of us start talking about it, more people from different backgrounds, different situations, we can all start helping each other out. Because if we don't talk about it, how can we?
And that's the thing. I mean, me and you are both, you know, self-employed women in our like early 30s, mid 20s. But then, you know, there might be women that are older or women that are younger in salary jobs or just starting out or have been in their career for ages. And that's when it's interesting, and that they're the people you want to hear from, because then the people that can offer advice to other people in different, in the similar situations, because I know we only speak for a minority. So it's just make like starting the conversation, because I feel like there's so much to say about this, and I almost want to do a part two, because I feel like it'd be good to almost get people's feedback and questions potentially, and have answers from people that are really like clued up as well.
Okay, I'm going to say it right now. I'd like a part two, a follow-up, with questions with a money expert.
Yeah, I would love that.
That isn't Martin Lewis.
Yeah, a female money expert. Not that it matters. He's great. No shade.
No. That wasn't. But yeah, maybe a Martina Lewis.
Martina Lewis, if you're there.
But I want to just plug two books. And there's loads of podcasts as well that I've been listening to. So Sarah Tasker has just launched a new podcast with Jen Carrington called Letters from a Hopeful Creative. They haven't touched on money yet, but I think some of the issues they talk about are quite interesting for self-employed people. These aren't relevant just to self-employed people, but there's a book by Jenny Sincero called You Are Badass at Making Money. And I love the tone of this book. It's not too wishy-washy. It's not too hardcore. It's just a really nice tone. She's like firm but nice. And then the book that I talk about all day, every day, is Tara Moore, Playing Big. You know what I'm going to say, but this book changed my life. And if I had enough money, which I will do one day, I will carry spare copies in my bag and hand them out to random people on the street.
Maybe I'll take that on holiday with me. Maybe I need to unpack one of my books and pack that.
Okay, I think you need to calm down. You're never going to read them all.
You're
going to get so into relaxing. You're going to be like, what books?
What book? What's a book? Yeah. What's a read?
What? So they're my closing notes on money. Do you have any others apart from singing ABBA at me?
I feel like I've got so... I feel like... No, I do, but I don't, because I don't want to open up any more cans of worms. But I would love... start a thread on the Facebook group discussing this and just asking if there are any money experts out there, because I'd love to do a follow-up for this. I think it'd be really interesting, especially when there are different perspectives. I'd love to do it with more voices, more perspectives.
What are some savvy things we could be doing with money? I mean, it's all relative, but do you know what I mean? Like, maybe I bet there's probably a money expert listening right now going, do this, you idiots. But you know, regardless of how much you get paid, like, is there like something we could all be doing to help ourselves in the future? So many questions. I feel
I want to know apps. I want to know, you know, what are the apps we should be using to manage our money? I know there's so many people suggest different things, and there's Monzo and there's all these different things, but I want to know more.
You've just dropped Monzo in there, and that's a whole can of worms that needs explaining.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't have a Monzo card, but I know it's something that I don't know enough about it to kind of open it, but
I'm going to kind of summarize Monzo. So you put money on a card. First of all, it's very fluorescent, isn't it?
I think so. I don't have one.
Yeah, well, my my friend has one, and I asked her about it, and it's hooked up to an app, and then yeah. everything that you spend, it then breaks it down for you, and you can scan all your receipts and things like that if you require it for a freelance self-employed tax return, not self-employed, but, you know, just a tax return self-assessment in general. But that's quite a good way of managing money, because you actually have to transfer it onto the card. It's not like a debit card, so it's not just like, as I think with my debit card, a bottomless pit of money, and then it gets declined, and I'm like, but why?
But why?
But why is that declined?
As she's, how old?
As she looks at a hot tub. I just don't know.
I just can't think.
But again, we're saying that, and I bet people are screaming at the podcast right now going, use this, I use this. It's a brilliant tool for money. So I just want to open up those conversations.
Yeah, I agree. I second that.
Brilliant. Well, we are going to go. I've had a lovely time here, sat on my picnic blanket in my garden. We will still be doing an episode next week. Liv is jetting back from Greece. In fact, we've got a bit of admin.
So a bit of admin.
If you're listening to this on Monday, we will be doing a live recording of The Fringe of It on Thursday. Let me give you a date. Hang on. I'm so far into the summer now, like I literally don't even know what date it is.
Oh God.
So on the 19th of July, we will be doing a live podcast recording at the Fresh Store in Marylebone. We don't have a time as yet, but keep your eyes peeled on the Facebook group. We were going to do a live podcast on the 25th of July at the Hoxton, but we've actually postponed that to the 8th of August because we just want a bit more time. So keep the 8th of August in your diary, and then we're going to go on a 2-week holiday podcast break, and we will be back in September.
Yeah. New term, new ideas.
As always, I haven't said it for a few weeks, but if you'd like to review, rate us and subscribe, it helps other people find us. You can find some like-minded people in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/The Fringe of It.
A delight.
Any more admin from you?
See you next Monday, but may see IRL on Thursday.
And make sure you wear some sunscreen, Liv. I don't want you sunburnt when you get back from Greece.
I won't be. See you later.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.